Hello and welcome to the 215 Workman's Podcast. My name is Brother Robert Rose. I'm from KJBRD Radio Ministries in Nipa City, Batangas, Philippines. Thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us today to hear this message that Brother Landon has for you. I pray that it's a blessing to you and a help to you. I pray that it helps you learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. All right, so what Brother Landon is going to do today is he's going to teach on the two natures. The two natures. So without further ado, here is Brother Landon.
We're going to be looking at a message here this evening on the two natures, amen? The two natures. This is going to be dealing with the two natures of the believer. We're going to be looking at the flesh. Then we're going to come over and we'll look at the spirit. And this is the two natures that are within the believer, amen. So if you would, go ahead and open up your Bible with me to the book of Galatians, amen. Galatians chapter 5. And for our text, we'll be in verses 16 and verses 17. So if you would, notice right here with me, beginning right here in verse 16, right here the Bible reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," and notice that's capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. It says, once more, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And notice what here with our flesh, and we'll cover this, at, you know, in this context, in our flesh, we'll be dealing with verses 19 to 21, and we'll read these, and with the Spirit, verses 22 through 23. Now, this is right here in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17, for our, and that's our text. And we'll go ahead and read the verses right here for our flesh, and then continue on and read the verses for the Spirit. Okay. Let's go ahead and we'll pick right up in verse 18, right after the two verses in our text that we just read. It says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And just let me stop right here just for a second, just before we continue on. When I was younger in the Lord, you know, I was in a independent missionary Baptist church, and there was a brother there, and he commented on this verse to me. In private, because I used to go help him, you know, do lawn care, help, you know, take care of his yard for him. And he had his own radio broadcast that he did, that he, I guess he'd done for years. He was an older gentleman, older in the Lord. But he told me right here that if anybody lives in their flesh and does, you know, what's listed right here in the context, he took it and interpreted that they won't go to heaven. But, you know, it doesn't say that the person won't go to heaven. Notice right there before the kingdom of God, it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's important. They won't inherit. That's inheritance. They will lose their rewards, in other words. So if they live in these things, and the Lord has to take them out early, they will lose their rewards, but they won't lose the salvation. Because once a person gets saved, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, a person is sealed with the Holy Spirit. So once a person is sealed, that's God sealing on the believer. God has personally, he sealed the Holy Spirit inside of the believer. And therefore, you're sealed. As Paul says, you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
You know, that's you know, the day of the rapture. You're sealed until the day of the rapture, and then God takes you on home. But it says right here, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And continuing, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, we as believers, you know, we have a struggle, you know, every day with our flesh. You know, there's a spiritual battle that goes on each day. You know, we battle between the fleshly man, and then we battle with the spirit man. You know, that's a part of the two natures, because whenever, you know, born naturally, we were born into this world in our flesh. And then when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his shed blood on the cross, you know, trusting, you know, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, now he's buried, now he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, you know, trusting in his sacrifice for our sins, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, you know, that verse says, in whom we have redemption. When that's the book of Colossians, it says, whom we have redemption through his blood. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So then, you know, God has sealed the Holy Spirit inside of us. So now, there's a battle that goes on, and there's a battle that takes place between the flesh and the spirit. You know, if you're looking for an example here, because I believe Paul is a great example for us, you know, considering, you know, he's our apostle today, Romans 11, 13. We're going to notice, you know, looking with our apostle. And I'm not saying, you know, he's our apostle just so we only follow Paul for today. I know we follow the whole entire Bible today, but what I'm saying, as far as doctrine goes, we follow the Apostle Paul, because God called Paul and sent Paul to us.
That's right, brother.
But I'm saying we follow the whole Bible, because where the rest of the Bible lines up with Paul, we can take that for doctrine today as well, as long as it lines up with the Apostle Paul. But we're going to notice something, you know, with the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at two aspects right here. We're going to look at where Paul is filled with the Spirit, and we're going to look at where Paul had problems with his flesh. Notice this with me. Let me write this up here. We got Paul, the Apostle Paul. We're going to look first, you know, where Paul was filled with the Spirit. And we'll look at that. It's in Acts chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Filled. Let's look at that first. Okay. Acts chapter 13. Well, actually, for sake of context, we'll read verses 9 down to 11. You notice this is the boldness of Paul. This is whenever Paul was filled with the Spirit. Notice right here, beginning verse 9. It says, then Saul, who also is called Paul. Look right here. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So, you know, we know the Apostle Paul, he got saved earlier on in a few chapters back in the book of Acts. You know, right here we see Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and with him filled with the Holy Spirit, we see him, he has boldness. As you know, as you remember from a message that we've done previous in the past on being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, that was set upon our spiritual lives. And we dealt with Paul right here and showed Paul's boldness whenever Paul got filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, whenever a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, as we see right here, as we know with the Apostle Paul as our example, you know, we see here he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and whenever he got full of the Holy Spirit, you know, he set his eyes on where the Lord showed him to go, and you know, and the Apostle Paul, he went. So, and that's how it is with us whenever we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Lord fills us, you know, and I believe we pray to the Lord and pray for him to fill us with his Spirit. You know, I believe the Lord will fill us. You know, and it comes by reading and studying his word and being faithful and obedient to what the Lord says. So I believe when the Lord fills us, you know, we'll have that courage, we'll have that boldness, you know, we'll have that desire, you know, to set our eyes on this lost world, and, you know, and we'll go. Because I believe when the Lord fills us and he sends us in that direction, you know, we're going to go where he sends us, amen. But, you know, as, you know, Paul, throughout the scriptures, you know, Paul went. He went with boldness. You know, he was filled. But, you know, Paul wasn't always filled with the Spirit. Because if you notice, and I let the arrow on over, notice whenever Paul, he had a battle with his flesh. He battled with his flesh over the book of Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. You know, that's the common phrase that we know with Paul, where he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, right here Paul was filled. But notice right here, this is the body of this death. Romans chapter 7, if you notice right here, beginning with verse 14, you know, with this chapter, and this chapter in general, you know, we're dealing, you know, with the struggle between the body of flesh and with the soul. You know, the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Notice beginning right here in verse 14. For, you know, this is right out of the mouth of Paul. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the spirit man. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Let's go ahead and finish off the chapter. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And that was Paul's struggle, you know, with the flesh and with the spirit. And he was letting us know, you know, that it's a struggle and that it's a war. And you know, and with this, you know, it's a battle for the mind. Because you know, every time we go to fall into sin, or you know, or we're tempted to fall into sin, you know, where does it always come first? You know, it starts in the mind. Because you know, you have the thoughts coming in your mind. You know, whatever it may be, whether it be smoking or cussing or you know, or pornography, you know, whatever it is, you know, you're sitting there and you know, it's like almost out of nowhere. It's like you'd be sitting there and it's like, go ahead, do that. It's okay. Nobody's going to know. I mean, if you be honest with yourself, I mean, it's pretty much like that coming to you. And I'm just telling you from personal experience, you know, of how the thoughts come to my head. That's pretty much how it comes to me. Because, you know, I'm nobody perfect. I'm nothing special. You know, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just a wretched man. Like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Right. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm nothing. But you know, that's how the thoughts come to me. Like, oh, it's okay, go ahead. Nobody's going to know. You're here by yourself. Or nobody's going to see it. But you know, it's a struggle, and you know, it's a battle between, you know, flesh and spirit. You know, it's a battle between the mind, and you know, and as it comes into the mind with those thoughts, if you don't get into the Word, or you know, get into the things of the Lord, you know, being obedient to the Lord, and you sit there and ponder, and that's where it comes in. Is if you sit and ponder and think on it, it goes from the mind, it goes on down into the heart. Mm-hmm. And then you act upon it and you fall into sin.
Yes.
Because, you know, Dr. Ruckman, you know, he mentioned that, you know, with it being in the mind, it not necessarily could be a sin, because in the mind, you don't have to act on it. You can ignore it when it comes straight into the mind. But whenever you sit and think on it, and you think on it, and you just let it sink in, and it just goes down into the heart. And then you act upon it, you fall into sin. And you know, and that's where the problem lies. And Paul shows us. Right there in verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So when you act upon it, you fall into sin. But let's go on here and let's notice our first point. But before we look at our point, let's ask a question. How do we walk in the Spirit? Amen. How do we walk in the Spirit today? Well, number one, we walk in the Spirit by denying our flesh, amen. By denying our flesh. And with this, we're going to look in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 down to verse 14. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Look right here, verse 11. It says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So how do we walk in the Spirit? You know, number one, we deny our flesh. You know, by denying our flesh, Paul says right here in verse 11, that we are to reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And he continues by saying, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. And he says in verse 13, that ye should neither yield your members. So we're not to yield, we're not to give in to that temptation. And I know it's easier said than done. You know, I'm not perfect. You know, I've given in to many temptations. And I've had to, you know, come to the Lord, you know, ask forgiveness. You know, 1 John 1:9. You know, I've haven't arrived. You know, I'm still a man. I'm just like the Apostle Paul. I battle with my flesh and with the Spirit. We all do if we're honest with ourselves.
Yep, me too, brother.
But Paul says right here to not yield your members. So whenever we get those lustful temptations or those urges to fall into sin, Paul shows us right here directly to deny our flesh. You know, we're to not yield the members. You know, we're not to give in to those temptations. So, you know, last night I was watching, you know, Dr. Peter Ruckman's, his DVD sermon, you know, on the giant in your life. And he said in there in particular, he said, you know, and he used a drawing, you know, with David, you know, when he was fighting Goliath. You know, that Goliath came into the battle in his own strength. And he mentioned, you know, that David, you know, he brought him to go get five rocks, you know, because he was going to fight each one, he's going to fight Goliath and Goliath's brothers. You know, David was coming into the battle in God's strength. And that's how it is for us. That's how we're supposed to deal with our temptations. We're supposed to deal with it in God's strength, not our own. Because if we deal with it in our, if we try to deal with it in our own strength, then we're going to fall into temptations. We know we're going to, you know, whatever the urge of sin may be, we might fall into it directly because we think that, you know, well, I can do it on my own. You know, I'm strong enough. I can do it on my own. You know, that's how it was with Saul, as in the sermon. You know, Saul tried to come into the battle in his own strength. And, you know, we all know how that story ended. Because David came in God's strength. He was trusting in the Lord, and the Lord took him through that. So whenever we come, you know, with these urges and temptations, we need to approach it and come to it in God's strength. And we need to trust God. You know, trust Him and let Him help us and guide us through and overcome these temptations. Because notice right here, within denying our flesh, this is as we just mentioned, we are to yield ourselves. And We just dealt with this one. That's in verse 19. So when we yield ourselves, like we mentioned, you know, we yield ourselves to God. We're trusting Him, not in our strength, but in His strength. Then looking on, I love this one. We are to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It says right here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In verse 2, you notice it was about the renewing of our minds. Paul said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way we do that, back with the example of the Apostle Paul, back in Romans chapter 7, whenever Paul was giving us and showing us, the example of, falling in sin in the spirit, his war, his spiritual warfare. Verse 25, at the end of chapter 7 of Romans chapter 7, verse 25, Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. And the way we renew our minds, I believe, we get into God's Word, and through prayer and trust in the Lord. Because, it's through prayer and the Lord's Word. I believe that's where we're going to get our strength. That's where we're going to get our renewing. And it's not going to be by our strength. Because once we yield ourselves, once we deny ourselves and yielded ourselves and renewed our minds, it's all through the Lord's strength. It has to be Him that does it for us. Because within ourselves, we're going to fall into flesh every time. Our minds ain't going to be renewed. If we stay in our flesh, we're going to be capable of doing every sin. Because nobody is above any sin in their flesh. It's only in the spirit that we're able to overcome. Because within ourselves, Paul said, I know that within me, that is in myself, dwelleth no good thing. Within ourselves, we can't do it. It can only be done through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Him inside of us, through the inward man. That's how we're going to get the strength. But we have to renew our minds, Right here, back in Romans chapter 12, according to our bullet point here, renewing our minds. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the outward effect and the outward outcome of that is, verse 1. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Until we renew our minds, You know, we'll be just like Paul whenever he was filled with the Spirit, right there in Acts 13. You know, we'll set our eyes, you know, compared to our reasonable service, we'll be living holy. You know, we'll set our eyes upon this world. And we'll go forth doing what the Lord wants us to do, what the Lord would have us to be doing. But we have to renew our minds. And with renewing our minds, take it all off here. After renewing our minds, we're to live clean. And that's not anything within ourselves, you know, like our own self-righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're to be living clean by the Lord living in us and through us.
Yes.
Romans 13, 10 through 14. Flip over there. Look right here, verse 10. Says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So right there directly, you know, what Paul's showing us right there, not to be walking in our flesh, but to be walking in our spirit, because, you know, the day of the Lord is at hand. You know, the rapture can come at any moment. You know, so if we're living our flesh, when the Lord calls us home, you know, we're going to lose rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So, you know, why not right now, like Paul said, put on the armor of light. Let's, right now, let's walk in the spirit. And look right here, verse 13, continuing. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So after we denied our flesh, yielded ourselves to the Lord, and got our minds renewed, and now we're living clean, doing what the Lord would have us to be doing. You know, we're to be walking honestly, you know, amongst this world. So, you know, what kind of example are you living before this world? When this world looks at you, you know, do they see somebody who is trying to serve the Lord? Or when they look at you, do they see somebody where they're like, oh man, that person doesn't know the Lord. That's a hypocrite. Is that how the world views you? You say, well, they don't think I'm a hypocrite. Well, really? Have you tried to approach them and talk to them about the Lord? Or whenever they look at you, are they trying to avoid you and stay away from you? Do they give you disgusting looks like, Christian, yeah. How does this world view you? Do they see you as real or do they see you as fake? I mean, just ask them. Because I've been in this situation and I've had them come to me and tell me about other Christians before. Because they said, well, that person's a hypocrite. They're not real. Because they're viewing how you're living. If you're not living clean, then they look at you and they see you as a hypocrite and they see you as fake. And you know, on the other end, from our perspective, we know that the person, you know, that's a Christian that's, you know, living in their flesh, we know they're saved. But we can't explain to them, you know, the flesh and the spirit, because most likely, you know, they can't understand, because, you know, God's word is spiritually discerned. You know, this, it's hard for them, they can't see the difference because they don't understand the difference. Because when you're living in your flesh, they see you the same as them. And with a person, you know, that's coming to be, you know, saved and living for the Lord, this world, when they see you, you know, they automatically think you're supposed to be on a higher, you know, level, because, you know, you're claiming the Lord, so they put you on a higher level. And if you fall below that level, if you fall in your flesh, automatically, oh, you're fake, you're a hypocrite, I knew you wasn't real. These are things I've been told about other Christians. You know, and it just breaks my heart, because, you know, that's a sad testimony. You know, that hurts a person's testimony, because they just want to, you know, they don't want to live clean. They just want to, you know, fit in and live with this world and do whatever. Because, you know, maybe it could be for many reasons. Maybe, you know, they just haven't grown, or, you know, maybe they're scared of the reproach, you know, for, you know, they're scared, you know, what this world might say to them, you know, for trying to live for the Lord. You know, they're afraid. You know, there could be other reasons. But regardless of what it is, you know, we're supposed to be living clean. Like, asking me personally, do I always live clean? No, I mean, I'll be honest, there's times I've failed. Not just in the workforce, in my own home. You know, I've fallen in my flesh. I've gotten an attitude with my wife before. Do I like that? No. I feel terrible afterwards. That, you know, I want to get things right. I don't. Just how having that fellowship, you know, right there with me and my wife, you know, me just, you know, getting to an argument. I don't cuss her. But, you know, just having that fellowship broken between me and my wife, that bothers me, and I want to get it right immediately. But just imagine, even more so, above all, you know, our fellowship with the Lord. If we're not living clean, that fellowship right there between us and our Savior, that fellowship's broken. So just imagine, you know, getting right just so we can make a difference in this world. Know we're to be living clean. Deny our flesh. You know, how do we walk in the Spirit? We deny our flesh, yield ourselves, renew our minds, and live clean amongst this world in God's strength, not our own. Then moving on. Let's go ahead and move on. Move to our next point. Get through this. Nope. How do we walk in the Spirit? We read God's Word. Oh, goodness. Read God's Word. That'll be over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. So flip over there with me. Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Notice with me right here. It says right here, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So, in order to be walking in the Spirit, you know, number one, number two right here, we're to be, you know, reading God's Word. And not only, you know, to be walking in the Spirit by reading this Word, you know, it also helps us, because, you know, when we read the Word, we get strength from the Word, and we're, you know, we know what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. Because, you know, if we're not in His Word, and we're just, we quit our reading, you know, we close up our Bible and we set our Bible up on the shelf, or, you know, up on our dresser, or, you know, or wherever we keep our Bible. Like me, whenever I'm not in my Bible, you know, my Bible sits on my dresser right in front of me. That way it's close to me. So, but if we're not in our Word, in the Bible, in the Word, We're not reading the word, you know, as it says right here. Paul says, give attendings to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You notice that, to doctrine. You know, if we're not in the word, you know, reading the word, we're not going to be aware of whatever other doctrine that's going to be coming out there, you know, coming our way, you know, because there's all kinds of doctrines out there. You know, we see this within the Christian world today. You know, we see Calvinism. You know, we see worship salvation. You know, we see all these things where they're teaching, you know, for a person, you know, that they have to do works in order to be to attain salvation. You know, or you have to do something so that we may see that something is real, and just all these things. You know, all these denominations out here, and all these cults out here, you know, like Pentecostals, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, that are trusting in, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they're preaching the kingdom, the physical millennial kingdom. You got the Pentecostals, you know, teaching works for salvation. You know, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but speaking tongues, get the Holy Spirit. How would you know that these things are false if you're not reading the Word?
That's right, brother.
I mean, you wouldn't know unless you know you've already heard somebody tell you that it's wrong, or unless you've already had previous experience with these people in the past. You wouldn't know that it's wrong if you're not reading your Word, reading the Word, you know, reading the Scriptures. But I found one thing that helps, you know, while reading God's Word. And this is something, you know, that I was actually doing before, you know, while preparing this, you know, this message to bring forth before y'all today. As we read God's Word, you know, we can do this next point, you know, while we're at home. We know which is where I'm at. I'm in my study. You know, or if we're at work, or you know, wherever we're at, as we read God's Word, we are to meditate upon the Word. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2. So flip back to the book of Psalms. Very first chapter. Just give me just a second. My pages, they like to stick a lot. I know I flip through them kind of hard, but at the same time, I'm trying to be very careful with my Bible because I love my Bible. Notice right here, Psalms 1, verse 2. It says right here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So whenever we go forth and we're reading God's Word, you know, after we find something, you know, that we found that's the spiritual meat for us, you know, we come here, you know, we're in the Word. We take what we just read, what we just got, what God just gave us from His Word. We just close up, we go about our way, and we meditate, we think on it. And when we find something good in the Word, you know, it's interesting, you know, or we get our help and our strength, we meditate and we think on it. And you know, the Lord, when we meditate and think on it, the Lord works on it through us. You know, he takes what we read, and he throughout our day, and this is how it is for now. I'll just give you myself as an example. Whenever I go to my job, you know, right now, currently, you know, I'm working, you know, at a truss factory, a truss plant, and I work on a web saw cutting out the orders that goes with the trusses that are built for the houses that are on the job sites. You know, I cut out the orders, the webs and stuff that goes in the floor trusses that goes into goes out to the job sites. You know, as I'm sitting there working, you know, the things that I've read previous, or for example, this message, preparing this message, you know, I put the outlines together last night, and as I went to work, I thought about everything that I've studied and everything that I placed together. Of course, how the Lord led it for me to do it. I got this outline I put together, and I've been thinking on it. I went to work. I'm starting working on the saw. Going about my day, and I'm thinking about each individual point. Each place I've read. How do we walk in the Spirit? We deny our flesh. And then I'm starting thinking with that verse on, how we deny our flesh. And then, we yield ourselves to the Lord once we deny our flesh. Because once we deny our flesh, we're yielding ourselves to Him. And that way, He can flow through us and He can use us. And I'm thinking about this, as we renew our minds, my mind's renewed. Because I'm thinking about how the Lord's going to be. I'm trying to think of how He's going to use me. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. Cleanse my mind. Help me to think on the things about you. And that's what was one of my prayers today. Lord, cleanse my mind. Help me to think on clean things. Because at my job, there's such a temptation to think on things that are, wicked or, worldly, ungodly. And once you get the job site or wherever you're at, once they know that or they hear that, you're a Christian or you're trying to live for the Lord, sometimes, they'll come to you purposely, on purpose, and try to tempt you into the things of the world just to see where you're at, where you stand. If you just crumble and fall automatically, oh, you're fake, you're not real. Don't even try to claim the Lord. Who is the Lord? Apparently, He's not real because you say you know Him. You're not living for Him. As we meditate, we need to have our minds cleansed. That's how it is. When we get into the Lord's Word, we think on those things. We're reading His Word. We meditate. And the Lord speaks to us through His Word of what we read. He speaks to us. And He speaks to our conscience. And he lets us know what we're to be doing. Through reading His Word, in like several places, for this is the will of God. We won't know what the will of God is unless we're in His Word, reading His Word. And not only by meditating on the Word. Not only meditating on the Word. But also by studying the Word. Second Timothy 2:15. So flip back into the New Testament. Let's look over the book of Second Timothy. Second Timothy 2:15 says right here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And by studying the word, it goes right in hand by reading God's word, because when we read it, we study it too. Keeping everything in place of how it's supposed to be. Keep studying things in their context. Noticing first mentions, first word mentions, looking at context is, look at who's dealing, what's being spoken to who, what's going on here, what's going on over there. Keeping everything in its proper context. And as we looked over in 1 Timothy 4:13, or give yourself to exhortation, to doctrine. And if we're not studying, I found that to be the best way to overcome false doctrine when we get in the Word and read it, by studying it.
Yes.
Because if we study it, and we follow the Scriptures, keeping everything in its proper context, then you'll see, like with the Pentecostals, they run over to Matthew chapter 24. Well, if you don't endure until the end, you lose your salvation. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know, the next verse after it, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You know, before I started studying, you know, and I faced Pentecostals early on in my Christian life, my first question was, the end of what? The end of you know, our life here on the earth, you know, our life that we're living right now? The end of what? They're like, oh, the end of the tribulation. So you see right there, they think right there directly that they go into the tribulation. Because they don't study the word.
That's right.
Well, they may study, but they don't study it in its context. They don't understand the proper divisions that are in the scriptures of what, you know, of who's being spoken, of what, you know, of who God's speaking to, or who God's dealing with. From Genesis all the way up to Revelation. They don't understand. So therefore, they place themselves in the scriptures as the Jewish nation of Israel. They place themselves as Israel. And you know, according to Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, I believe it is, you know, the tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble. The book of Genesis, Jacob's name was changed to Israel.
Yes.
Therefore, they think that they're Israel. It's like, no, you're not the nation of Israel. You're a Gentile. Most of these Pentecostals, if not all of them, for the most part, or at least not most of them, they're all Gentiles. But yet they say they're Israel. And then that opens the door for replacement theology. They say that they've replaced Israel. And how would you know? How would you know how to discern, and, you know, and to, you know, deal with this if you don't read God's word and you don't study it? It would be easy to get sucked into all these wrong doctrines.
Yep.
So, you know, after we read God's word, we meditate upon His word, and know, and we study. Notice what else comes with studying the word. We are to be growing. So in the Lord's Word, we are to be growing. And for this, we're going to look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. I wrote 2 Peter. Sorry about that. 1 Peter chapter 1. No, it was 1 Peter 2. I wrote it down correctly. I was just looking in the wrong place. Just had to bear with me. I just had a full shift today at my job, and then I'm trying to come here, you know, pray and get my mind renewed and prepare this message. But yes, in order to be walking in the Spirit, you know, after we read God's word, meditate and study, like I said, we're to be growing. So for 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, and we see that from a lot of Christians that fall in their flesh, and we see them out, you know, through the day of day. You know, I've seen, you know, Christians speaking evil of other people. And not even in a joking manner, just in their flesh, just evil speaking of somebody else. You know, Paul says we're to, or I'm sorry, Peter, and this is, you know, we're taking this spiritually because we're dealing with our spiritual lives. Peter says, well, for laying aside all malice, you know, laying aside all evil speakings. Now, this is to be laid aside from us. You know, put it away. That's the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. You know, if you put it away, then you can be walking in the Spirit. But as, you know, as continuing on, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So once we get into the Word, when we study, read, and meditate upon it, you know, we're to be growing in the Word. And that's something that I've seen with one Christian in particular. And I can tell she hasn't been growing because of the fact of this whole lack of. Because I've sat and watched her personal life, and I went and approached her personally. And I've tried to talk to her concerning the Scriptures. And I've tried to tell her and try to help her. But, you know, some people, they're stubborn. And I know, you know, she's my elder, technically by age. But, you know, as newborn babes desire to sincere milk of the Word, that she may grow thereby. You have to be in the Word that you can grow.
That's right.
I tried, I'm one of my asked her, just first off, I was like, do you read your Bible? Have you read your Bible? Oh, I get one verse that comes to my phone every day. I read one verse a day. And it's like, well, I know that's better than nothing, but at the same time, it's like one verse? Just one verse? You know, with everything that's going on, you know, in the workforce, you know, our job, it's a very hectic job. You know, it's very fast-paced. Hard, it's, you know, it's a hard-paced job. But one verse? And that comes early in the morning on your phones. You know, if you have Bible apps on your phone, that one verse comes early in the morning. Throughout our day-to-day, you know, work picks up, gets more hectic, more hectic, more hectic. You know, that flesh wants to rise up. You know, we face all these temptations, all these urges. And you have one verse early in the morning. If you're not in the Word growing, it's easy to forget that one verse that you read early in the morning or that you looked at. Because as you go about your day, you know, we face all these struggles, all these temptations, all these urges. You know, the chaos of life sets in. And we need the Word throughout the day, all day, not just early in the morning, one time a day. We need the Word always, at all times, consistently. And not only that, but also we need to be praying as we go about our day and day to day. You know, we need to be in the Word, we need to be praying. Like, personally, we don't need the Word just one single verse one time a day. You know, and I can tell she wasn't growing because, you know, I've tried to ask her questions and stuff. And she just gets angry and just shuts me off. Well, you're not my pastor. You're not my pastor. It doesn't matter. In order to be growing, we don't take the pastor's word for everything, amen. Yes, you obey your pastor, yes, amen. But I'm saying, your pastor doesn't dictate your whole entire Christian life. One of us are accountable for our own lives. Each individual need to be studying the Word.
Yes.
You know, when the pastor goes through and studies the Word, and then he brings forth the message, we don't take him for every word he says is truth. Because 2 Timothy 2:15 told us each individually to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Each one of us are going to give an account to God for our own lives. So we have to read the Bible for ourselves. Yes, we listen to the pastor, we learn, and we grow from it, but not everything they say is 100% fact. Sure. They're still flesh too.
Amen.
You know, just because they're a pastor doesn't mean they have arrived. You know, they still struggle with their flesh and their spirit. You know, they're having a spiritual warfare that they're battling. You know, they haven't arrived. The only difference between, you know, the pew sitting Christian and the pastor is the Lord has called him into a position where he's above them to teach them and try to guide the flock. But as far as a man in general, he's a man just as I'm a man. I mean, yeah, I mean, no, I'm not a pastor. I mean, yes, I preach and I teach the word of truth, but I'm not a pastor. But if I'm sitting there, you know, listening to the pastor, a pastor preach, you know, I know it, not everything he's going to say is 100% truth. Because, you know, even though we mean well, not everything we say is always the truth. Because we may not be purposely not telling the truth, but sometimes accidentally we say something that's wrong by accident, not meaning to, but it's hard sometimes to find the right words to say. Like before I hit record on this, I could be thinking one thing in my mind, and it's set there, and then as I hit record right here, and I start speaking, sometimes it doesn't come out exactly as how I was just thinking it.
Sure.
Or it may come out a little bit differently. And that's, we're not perfect. That's my point. Nobody is perfect. But we're each supposed to be studying the word for ourselves. We learn and we grow from what the pastor, you know, what the pastor brought forth in the sermon or the message. We learn from it. You know, we take it with a grain of salt, you know. Chew the meat, spit out the bones. You know, that comes with maturity. But, you know, all of us, you know, I remember I was at that point also before, if I heard one thing that was wrong, I would just throw that person out, like, oh, that was wrong. I'm not going to listen no more. That was immature. But the more you get into the Word and you study and read and grow, then you understand. No, that part was wrong. As long as it's not something on a serious, you know, doctrinal matter, you know, if it was something very serious and a doctrinal matter, you know, I can understand and still understand right now. But if it's something minor, something very small, take it with a grain of salt and just keep on going. Because no man is perfect. Behind our podiums, behind my podium right here, I'm not perfect, and neither is the pastor. Neither is each and every Christian, you know, each and every Christian man that's out there preaching and teaching the word. Not every one of us is perfect. If it's something small and, you know, very, you know, minute, you know, take it with a grain of salt. You know, where he's right, take it and spit out what was wrong. Because have you ever said anything that was wrong behind the podium? I mean, I know you probably didn't mean to, you didn't mean to, but have you? Well, then take it. Then you see where they're coming from. Just think within yourself, I'm not perfect, neither are they. God's using me, God's using them. If they're rightly dividing the word of truth, God's using them. If they're teaching false doctrine, they're led of the devil. They're led of the devil and his disciples. But let's go on. On this next point, with the question being asked, how do we walk? Oh my goodness. How do we walk in our flesh? Or more specifically, how do we walk in the flesh? Well, simply put, number one, we stop our daily Bible reading. And number two, we quit studying the Word. Or also number three, no, we accept sin. And that goes with, you know, and that goes with compromising, you know, a church that, you know, that may be teaching, that used to teach and preach right at one time, has now compromised and gave in, and they're accepting of anything and everything that walks through the door. They compromise and now they, you know, accept sin. You know, that's walking in the flesh. and that will result in fleshly doctrines. So if that's not biblically right. Then number four, we stop praying. We have to always be praying. Paul said, pray always. Praying always in the Spirit. We're to be praying always. So, you know, if I'm at work, and, you know, I started my day and I didn't pray, and the chaos comes on from the day to day, you know, I find myself, you know, going about the day in my own strength, and, you know, I find myself getting flustered and frustrated, you know, when things come my way, you know, I start to get irritated, and I'm like, you know, I get in my flesh. But whenever I'm praying, I start my day with prayer. And then as I'm going about my day, as each little thing comes, Lord, please help me with this situation right here. And you get through it, and another situation comes. Oh, Lord, please help me through this and guide me through this, Lord. I can't make it on my own. Lord, within my own strength, Lord, within myself, I know I'm nothing. Lord, help me and strengthen me and guide me through this, Lord. And then with His strength, He gives us His strength and He guides us through it. And then, you know, we get a peace about it. Because, you know, Lord, we can feel the Lord helping us and guiding us through it. Because over in the book of Proverbs, I don't remember what chapter. No. It will keep the imperfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We stop praying, you know, when we'll most likely be end up walking in our flesh. But next, you know, what are some signs? You know, what are some signs that a Christian is walking in his flesh? Well, simply put, you know, he has no desire, or he's living carnal. We notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Some signs that a Christian is walking in his flesh. Number one, you know, he has no desire. He's living carnal. Notice right here in beginning verse 1 right here. It says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you," and you notice, remember from our text in Galatians, "for whereas there is among you envying and strife," and notice right here, "and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" I've seen right here, you're carnal and you're walking as the men in this world. You know, you're walking the same as them. And that goes back to what I've mentioned. You know, whenever, you know, you're walking in your flesh, and this world knows that you say that you follow Christ, and that you're, you know, and that you're trusting Christ as your Savior, and that you're trying to live for Him and serve Him, and you go and live contrary, this world's going to see you as that hypocrite. They're going to see you as carnal. Well, they don't understand carnal. They're going to see you as a hypocrite, and they're going to say, well, you're not a real Christian. Because, you know, they see you going contrary to what you say, and if you go the opposite of what you say, then from their mind, you're fake. And Paul said right here, are you not carnal and walk as men? You know, that's the number one sign of a person, you know, living in their flesh. And I see that each and every day at my job. And I believe as what Paul said, you know, when the brother or sister or whichever the Christian may be that's living carnal was walking in their flesh, and you try to show them the truth and they don't want to accept it, and they just, you know, they reject the truth and they keep going on in their carnal ways and living in that flesh. Paul said, you know, to step back from and just let that Christian be. Just leave them alone. Let the Lord handle them. No, Paul said, you know, give them over to Satan. For such an one give over to Satan that the, you know, destroy the body, you know, but the spirit may be saved. And that's what I've had to do. You know, I just give up. Not personally, like I don't want to help. Like I still want to help the Christian to live right. But if they won't accept the truth, just leave them be. Let the Lord deal with them, or just let the Lord deal what He's with the Lord do what He's going to see fit. So moving on quickly through these, we're going to look on point number two. Now, what are some signs that a Christian is walking in his flesh? Maybe he could be given in to evil speaking. We're going to look over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 31.
Ephesians. The Christian has given in, walking in their flesh, they've given in to evil speaking. Look right here, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of, look at that again. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, because we can't lose salvation today. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this I've noticed, you know, within Christians that are living in their flesh, you know, you notice it within their speech. You know, I've seen it, you know, and the evil speaking, it comes in many ways. It can come in the form of gossiping. Because you can gossip and slander and put other people down. That's evil speaking.
Sure is.
And I see that at work. I see the lost world, you know, right there at the job site. They're all just like a bunch of little hens, just gossiping and running around, just cutting and tearing down other people down. And then I see the Christian walking in the flesh, right there in the same mess, and just running around in each little thing. And it has to be miserable, because I can see it's like it's so much of a heart, so much of a work just to go forth and just do this. Because I've stepped back and I'm just sitting and I've watched. I've sat there without getting in trouble because I'm supposed to be working, but when I see the Christian walking in their flesh, I just step back and I sit and I watch this. And I see the gossiping. I see the Christian run to one spot. And I can see the mouth just going a million mile an hour. Step back. After a few minutes, step back and just go on to another area. Just run over there and just blah, 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 and just...
Yeah.
Just it's in a cycle, and it's all day long.
Yeah, it's here too, brother.
But we're not to be given into evil speaking. Because Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. If you run around gossiping, who's that edifying? That's certainly not edifying the Lord. That's corrupt communication. You know, is it honestly edifying to the Lord to cut somebody down and just walk around and talk about them all the time? No, it's not. So within this evil speaking, we're going to look at a couple of things here within the evil speaking. First thing within it, you know, there's filthy talking, or talking filthy. Colossians 3:8. Colossians 3, verse 8. And notice this goes right in hand, where we just came from Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy," look right here, "filthy communication out of your mouth." You know, are you talking filthy? I know, is there perverted talking? You know, are you talking dirty within this lost world? Because, you know, that's a sure sign that you're walking in your flesh. And that's another thing, if the world looks at you and they see you talking filthy, then right back again, you're not real. You're not a real Christian. You're fake. You're a hypocrite. Yeah. And, you know, and if you try to witness to them later about the Lord, they're not going to take you serious. Because they're like, well, you're right now you're trying to tell me that the Lord Jesus saves, and yet last week I remember you talking dirty. You know, they're not going to take you serious. And also, another thing that comes with evil, when you're giving into evil speaking, you know, lying, or, you know, lies. This would be in verse 9, right here in Colossians chapter 3. But right here it says, Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So with the evil speaking, you know, the talking dirty, the filthy talking, and then next, you know, lying one to another, Christians going around lying on somebody else, you know, that's part of the old man. You know, that's the flesh. You know, we're not supposed to be lying as Christians. We're supposed to, where we were looking earlier in the spiritual, with the Spirit. You know, Paul said we're to be walking honestly. And if you're lying one to another, you're not walking honestly. Then we'll just go ahead and move on to the last one. No signs that a Christian's walking in this flesh. You know, they're no longer listening to the Lord's music. They're listening to the world's music. Ephesians 5:19. Because once a Christian has given into his flesh, you know, before, as you see right here in verse 19, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, the Christian is living in their flesh and they're listening to the world's music, which is not psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because it's not uplifting to the Lord, because they're talking about, you know, things that pleases their flesh, you know, and things that's, you know, pleasing to themselves, what they can get, what they can do. You know, it's all about themselves and pleasing themselves. You know, that's not uplifting, that's not edification, that's not edifying the Lord. But you know, a lot of Christians do this. And I see it, we've seen it so much. And I even seen it whenever I was still in the last church that I was in whenever I got saved. And I was in the little independent missionary Baptist church. I got real close with a Christian brother in there, and him and his family, you know, they still listen to country music. And I wasn't reading or studying my Bible really at all. Well, I wasn't studying my Bible at all, but I was reading occasionally here and there. And I got influenced, and therefore it led me away from the Word. It led me away from the truth, and it started leading me back into the way of the old man, but where Paul said puts you off the old man. And it led me back into the ways of the world. Like, I found myself listening to all them old country singers again. I would justify a little bit here and get more comfortable with that. Then I'd go to another one, and I would just keep justifying myself. I would try to justify the situation to make it where it was okay. But it was all in my own way, in my own thinking, because it was of the flesh. It wasn't edifying and lifting up the Lord, because number one, you know, it was drawing me away from the Lord. And that's a sure sign that it's not uplifting and pleasing to the Lord. But a lot of Christians, they're walking around in their flesh today, and you know, and I've said, watch it at work with the Christian. The world's music's playing over in the background. You see them over just dancing, bobbing, and acting all worldly, and that mouth just put right with the lyrics. It's not uplifting to the Lord. So, you know, the signs of walking in the flesh, there's no desire. Christians living carnal, giving in to evil speaking, filthy talking, lying, you know, listening to the world's music. You know, that's not what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Because, you know, we're battling, you know, every day with our flesh and the spirit. You know, that spiritual battle that's going on each and every day, you know, we're supposed to be denying the flesh and walking in the spirit. But that's all I have for this message. I pray that, you know, what's been brought forth and shown has been a blessing. And I just want to say that if you're not saved, that I just pray that today, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, I pray that you get saved. I pray that you come over to the cross of Calvary, you know, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. As in the book of Ephesians 2:8-9, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What God did on the cross for you is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible says, "And whom God has set forth to be a propitiation," you know, the substitute on the cross for our sins, "and whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." And it's all according to the gospel. You trust in my faith and in the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, He was buried. Now He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But I just pray that you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him and Him alone.
Amen. Amen, Brother Landon. Thank you so very much for this message, for this teaching on the two natures, you know, dealing with the flesh and the spirit. I just want to say a couple things. That is, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:15, right, you know, Brother Landon mentioned, right, that we are supposed to study. Right, it's a commandment from God to study His Word. Right, and a lot of the perversions, if not all of them, they remove the word "study," you know, in that verse. So, you know, it's no wonder that you know, a lot of people don't study the Word of God. Right, they just want to take their pastor's word for it. You know, they think, well, you know, he's got 2 or 3 degrees, you know, in theology, you know, so, you know, he knows what he's talking about. But that's not always the case. You know, you have to hold him accountable to the Word of God. You know, what he preaches and teaches, or any preacher for that matter, even me and Brother Landon, you go back and you study for yourself, right? And then you be persuaded in your own mind. You know, and if it's not Bible, what these preachers and pastors are preaching and teaching, then you throw it out and you follow the Bible. But if it's Bible, then you follow it. All right, so we're commanded to study, and then God tells us why we are to study, to show ourselves, or to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A lot of us, if not all of us, are going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account, and we're going to be ashamed because we did not study the way that we are supposed to. You know, study is self-work. You know, it takes discipline, right? And so, let's you and I study the Word of God, right? And let's learn the Word of God through our study. Amen? And then, let's grow in the Lord, right? Now, I'll show you a verse there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So again, that is a commandment also. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So don't always take what a preacher or a pastor preaches and teaches as 100% truth. Study for yourself. Alright? Now, I'll mention also that in 2 Timothy 2:15, I forgot to mention it, so I'm going to go back to it real quick. 2 Timothy 2:15, God tells us also how we are to study. So we're commanded to study, and God tells us why, and then He tells us how. Rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, so if you can rightly divide, you can wrongly divide. All right, you can overly divide it to where there is nothing left. You know, well, this is not for us, and this is not for us, and this is not for us. Well, you know how to determine if it is for us? Like if you find something in, like, say, Psalms or Proverbs or something like that, and you wonder if it's doctrine for the church today, bounce it off of what the Apostle Paul says in the Pauline epistles, Romans to Philemon. If it matches what Paul says, then it's for us today. If it doesn't, then it's not for us. All right? So you also can underdivide the word of truth also. All right, to where everything in the Bible is for us, for the church, right? And so you're going to get in trouble that way, right? So we have to rightly divide the word of truth, amen? All right, so go ahead and stop right there. Thank you so very much for being with us today. Thank you for your prayers for us, our families, our ministries. Until next time, God bless you.